It wasn't a coincidence, Curtis. I got to see your notes beforehand to put that song in. There's a note. Ask for songs. In the summer of 2004, my husband Jeff decided to run his very first marathon. So he spent the summer training, getting ready for race day. The race would be the first weekend in October, and Jeff's goal was to run all 26.2 miles in somewhere around 4 hours to receive a medal at the end. I'm sorry, how many of you are runners? How many of you are not runners? Okay, so we're just going to say yay for you. And then the whole idea, you go 26.2 miles, you actually pay to run in the marathon and you get a medal at the end. But anyways, that was what Jeff was hoping for. He was doing such a good job. He was in good shape. He was getting stronger every day of the summer of 2004. Just as an aside, I was not training for a marathon. I was actually 6-plus months pregnant. I had gained 70 pounds and all of the running seemed a bit ridiculous. But it was fun to watch him learn. Jeff didn't know anything about running a marathon, so he needed others to help him. He needed others to support and help him in his training. So he looked to the experts, and he looked to other people that he knew who had run marathons. And they taught him things like this. This is how far you should run every day as you're getting ready for the marathon as part of your training. Here's what to wear on the day of a marathon. Here's how to stay healthy. Here's what to eat and drink. Here's what not to eat and drink. Here's how to deal with pain. People could tell you how to keep on going because the goal was to finish the race. He needed support from others as he was preparing, but he also needed support on race day, and that's where I came in. I don't run, but I cheer real good. I'm a good encourager, and so Jeff needed people to cheer him on, so I gathered people to be there. I made a sign and stood there holding a sign that said, "Go, Jeff, go." And if that doesn't get you to 26.2, I don't know what does. But I was there to cheer him on, gathering others. Jeff would need people along the way to encourage him and to make sure that he had proper energy supplied. So Jeff's grandmother, who was in her 90s at the time, showed up at mile 22. She lived along near Summit Avenue in St. Paul. Jeff's grandma wanted to make sure she wanted to take care of him. In true grandma form, she showed up with a mason jar of water with a lid on it to bring him a drink of water and a full orange to help him along the way. And bless his heart, he stopped running to stop and drink the water from Grandma. Jeff needed somebody at the finish line to pick him up, and there I was. And he finished the race. I tell you all of this just because we're creating this metaphor today, because in the Bible, the life of a Christian or the life of faith in a number of ways gets compared to running a race. And it is not a short race. To be a follower of Jesus, to be in this life of being a Christian, is more like a marathon. It starts when you come to faith. It starts when you recognize Jesus and say yes to this life, and it goes on until we get to heaven. And just like people running a marathon, we need others in our lives to guide us and to cheer us on. So one of the places that uses this race metaphor is in Hebrews chapter 12. Jess alluded to it earlier. But before we get there, we're going to look at the context in Hebrews 11. So if you want to grab a pew Bible or take out your Bible on your phone or your phone app, we're going to rip through this kind of fast. But Hebrews 11 starts like this. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. So here's the writer of Hebrews talking about faith, and the writer of Hebrews is looking for examples of people who lived by faith, and he calls them at this point the ancients. Some translations might call them the saints. Sometimes we talk about them as our forebears in faith or our spiritual ancestors. A little while later, he creates another metaphor for them. So this writer says the ancients were commended for their faith and then gives this long litany of people who lived by faith. So kids, something for you today, or grown-ups, I'm going to list the ones that he names. I want you to count on your fingers how many of their names you recognize. So he says this. He says Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham lived by faith. He says Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph were people who lived by faith. He says Moses' parents, Moses, Rahab, and Gideon were people who lived by faith. He says Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel. How many do you have that you knew? 17? No, I don't think there was 17 in the list. 17? How many? 14? Oh, there must be a whole. I should have counted the list first. So 17, 14. Anybody have like 30? Then God was just speaking into your mind other names. And then he even says, then there's the prophets, and there's more people, he says, that I have time to mention. I can't even tell you about all of them. Here's this litany that he gives of people who live by faith, and they're not a list of heroes. They are really real people who followed God and did the best that they could. A lot of them are Old Testament characters who have very interesting stories that you can find. But there are also unnamed followers of Jesus in the earliest days of the church. Most of them had very humble beginnings. They're both male and female. They are young and old and big and small, but they lived by faith, holding on to some kind of promise that God had given them. All of these people, he said, could not see the future or the impact of their actions. In some ways, they faced suffering and persecution, but they obeyed and they followed. They put their faith in God, not in themselves, not in other people, not in the earth, or not in the gods of the age. He says some of them got very positive results. Some of them, he says, conquered kingdoms and administered justice. Some gained what was promised. Some shut the mouths of lions or quenched the fury of the flames. Some escaped the edge of the sword. He says for some of them, their weakness turned to strength. They were powerful in battle. They routed foreign armies. They received back their dead, raised to life again. For some of them, there were these stories of victory, but he says others suffered. Because of following Jesus, because of being the people of God, they were tortured. They faced jeers and flogging, chains and imprisonment. He said they were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two, killed by the sword. He said they wandered in deserts and mountains, lived in caves and holes in the ground. But whether in triumph or tragedy, they all lived by faith. They trusted God. And according to Hebrews 11:39, they were commended for it. They're being remembered in this passage for it. And that's the kind of gist of Hebrews 11. And then after those 40 verses, we turn to chapter 12 and read this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run with perseverance the race marked out for us. This is where the race comes in. The metaphor he uses for the life of faith is a race. It's a long run that is fraught with peril and potential hazards. It's a race that you persevere in. According to the writer of Hebrews, though, one of the keys to being able to persevere, one of the keys to being able to finish the race that you begin is to be surrounded by what he calls a cloud of witnesses. The cloud refers to the people that he first called the ancients. The cloud, he says, surrounds us and makes it possible to run a race of faith with perseverance and to finish. Because nobody was meant to be a Christian all by themselves. We were never meant to do this alone. Anna said that last week in her sermon when she talked about how Jesus sent out his disciples two by two. Nobody had to go by themselves to spread the gospel. God promises us all through the Bible that God's going to be with us wherever we go. But then God gives us this incredible gift of others to go with us. Those are our cloud of witnesses. And that cloud is encompassed with the ancients, those who have gone way before, who were there in the Bible, who set an example. But there are others who have gone before us, people way back in the tradition or people close in our lives who have left stories and instructions and guidance. We have people in our lives and people that we need. We need Christians who are older, who have done this for longer, who can help, who can guide us and to speak to their experience. But we all need people in our lives who have been at this for less time. Christians who are younger or newer, who look help us see things in a different way. We need Christian friends and peers who know what it's like and who say, I'm in this with you. God gives us this cloud of witnesses so that we will keep on running, because the reality is some don't. Some people give up. And it's always been that way. That's why those New Testament letters are just full of these admonitions to keep on going, to keep on running, to not give up when it gets hard. It's always been that way, but lately I feel like I hear about it more and more. Countless articles about why people have left the church. The last 5 years have been especially difficult, and many people have stopped attending church. But there are others who have not just stopped going to church, they're leaving Christian faith. And the question really is why. So here in Hebrews 12:1, the writer gives two reasons. The writer says one of the things that will trip up people or cause them to walk away from faith, he calls it everything that hinders. I call this stuff that gets in the way, things that cause us to lose our focus, the stumbling blocks that trip us up, like being busy. The busyness of life, when it's hard to keep focus and keep important things first, other things get in the way. I call it lists and lists and more lists that somehow take over my ability even to focus on God. Some of the things that hinder the church's shadowy past. And we're becoming more and more aware of things that have been done in the past by the church in the name of Jesus that were horrible. And for some, hearing about where we've come from has made them say, maybe I don't want to be part of this at all. One of those things that hinder. Fighting in the church is one of those things that's a hindrance. When we don't get along. I mean, I watch so many people walk away from one church to go to another church because they said something that they wanted. Or they did it in the way that they wanted. But some have said, you know what, if this is what it's like, I don't want anything to do with this. And they're walking away from faith. In a real marathon, runners on a course need people to keep the course clear. They have the people that they get to ride the bikes, that ride the bikes to make sure that there's ways and space for the runners to go. There's people to make sure if they have to cross an intersection that there's a safe crossing. It's people that are standing there to make sure that the path is clear so that nothing will hinder their run. And we need those people in our lives too. The cloud of witnesses helps us get rid of everything that hinders. They're there to cheer for us. There's people in your life that are just saying, go, go. Keep running this life of faith. They're the friends that come along and say, you can do this. Or let me help you sort out your priorities. I haven't seen you around a little. Come with me. Sit by me. Do something so that we keep going together. The cloud of witnesses makes the cloud bigger. My friend Stacy, when she ran her first marathon, she had a couple of friends that wanted to come and make sure that she finished the race. So when she came to the spot they were standing, they came and ran next to her, side by side, for a little part of the race to go with her. But they had T-shirts made that day, and this friend had a T-shirt that said Stacy that pointed this way, and this friend had a T-shirt that said Stacy and pointed this way. And so as Stacy was running, suddenly everyone lining the streets now knew her name. They made the cloud bigger. Hey, this is Stacy. And people were going, go Stacy, keep running, Stacy. Our cloud of witnesses are the people that we are, the prayer chains that we make to say, here's a name, pray for this person. It's saying, here's someone that I know, I want you to meet them. It's sharing our stories because we make the cloud bigger. The cloud of witnesses helps you keep your focus when it's hard to pay attention. Another friend, Michelle, was running a marathon, and Jeff decided to help her out. So he hadn't really planned ahead, so he just ran out in his, I don't know, loafers or whatever. Do you wear loafers? Whatever he's wearing that day, he joined Michelle, and Michelle was struggling with pain in one of her legs. And she was getting near the end, but it was really hard. And so Jeff's running next to her, just kind of loping along and talking to her. And finally she said, would you just shut up? And Jeff said, listen. When I'm talking at you while you're running, are you thinking more about me talking or about the pain in your leg? And she said, well, I'm thinking about you talking. And he said, well, then I'm doing my job. We need those people in our life when it gets hard, when things get in the way, that just keep on talking, that just keep on reminding us of who Jesus is and how they don't want you to quit. They want to see to the end. The writer of Hebrews says that there are things that hinder us in the race, and the cloud of witnesses helps us to clear those things out and keep going. Then he says, there's this sin that entangles. that might trip us up as we run. I picture it like this. Imagine trying to run a marathon with your shoelaces untied. Or imagine if the streets were just this thick, deep mud and you tried to slog around. That's the picture that I get in this part of Hebrews. Sin, says the writer, entangles us. It messes up our footing. It causes us to fall or to fall away. It's when we get into places where we're making choices that don't honor God, that don't honor others and ourselves, that make it hard to keep on moving forward. And a cloud of witnesses are the people who care enough about you to say, wait a minute, I'm concerned about you. Let me help you continue to run. Let me help you stop that or get that out of the way or get you untangled. Let me tie your shoelaces for you. They're the people that say, I want to stick with you and continue to point the way. If you're a runner, it's the coach or your running friend who says, I don't think donuts are the best choice on the day of a run. Let me help you choose something that's better because I care about you and it matters to me that you finish this race. To those things, the things that hinder and the sin that entangles, I would add at least one more thing, but for this morning, I would add pain. Pain makes it hard to keep on running. And in this metaphor, the pain means when bad things happen and life gets difficult. When you feel all alone because of death or loss of a friendship, when you experience disappointment or rejection or shame or loneliness, it's the kind of pain, it's the kind of hurt that makes you start to wonder, does God really care about me? Is this really worth it? Is God really real? It's the kind of thing that makes you start to think, maybe I'll take a different path, or maybe I'm going to quit this race, and we need that cloud that comes along. Heather read the passage from Exodus today about Moses, and Moses literally had this call from God to hold his arms up for hours at a time, and he got so tired. And in that passage, his friends, Aaron and Hur, come and hold his arms so that he can do the thing that God has called him to do. When it hurts and we're tired, we need hand holders, either here or here, wherever it is, who keep us going when we're hurting. Your story, Kurt, about friends who came to sing, to keep you going and to moving forward. My favorite running story comes from the 1992 Olympics. The Olympics were held in Barcelona that year, and there was a British runner who was supposed to win that year. His name was Derek Redmond. Running in the Olympics was a lifetime dream for him. He was running in the 400-meter race, and he'd been training for this all of his life. He had all the experts. He had the great coaches. He had a whole nation. He was British. He had a whole nation cheering him on. He was supposed to win the gold. And so as he lined up at the start line, he was feeling good. When the gun sounded, he took off, and he was running the race of his life. He was fast, and he was strong, and he could see the end in sight. And when he rounded one part of the race and was getting close to the end, all of a sudden, the crowd watched as he fell on his face. And he had torn a muscle in his hamstring, and he was laying on the ground in so much pain, and all the other runners just kept on going. Pretty soon, the medical team started coming to get to him, and as they were getting to him, they watched him struggle to try to stand up again. He tried to stand up again and to keep moving, and he fell down on his face, and they're stopping to say to him, we'll help you. Let's take care of you. And then you see, there's a little bit of footage, a man comes busting through the crowd and onto the field. And the security or people are running at this guy, and he's pushing him out of the way till he can get to Derek Redmond, who's on the ground. And he comes up, and he leans down, and he says to him, you don't have to do this. And Derek Redmond says, yeah, I do. It's his dad, P.S. It's his dad who has busted his way down there. And then he comes and he helps him up, and his son puts his arm over his dad, and together they limp across the finish line. He didn't win. Somebody else got the gold that day, but he made it across the finish line because there was someone there to go with him when it hurt. Someone there to pick him up literally and walk him to that place. Those are the kind of people we need. Those are the kind of people we need to be in each other's lives. The kind of people that come beside us when it gets hard. The kind of people who recognize when someone's in pain and say, you know what? I'm going to help you do this. I'm going to help you. Even if we limp the rest of the way to heaven, let's do this together. Here we have this cloud of witnesses full of biblical examples of people. We have a cloud of people that have gone before and people who are close to us to help us stay on course, to be able to finish the race. The cloud points the way, helps us get untangled, and comes beside us when we need it. On October 1st of this year, the Twin Cities Marathon is coming back. I'll be here. And I don't really want to encourage you not to be here, but if you've never seen it, it is the best of the Twin Cities. It is the best because people come and line the streets to cheer for runners. And maybe they know somebody, but probably they don't. They just cheer for anybody who comes. It is the best spirit of our town that I've ever experienced. Jess is running the 10 mile that day. You can cheer for her and probably still make it back to church. Josh Marino's running the marathon? Okay, we have two runners that day. Maybe we'll have like footage. Someone can go and represent us there. At any rate, I love the marathon more than anything. I just love going to see this thing happen because everyone is there for the runners. They are surrounded by a cloud of people who only want them to finish, who only want them to go. And they make noise, and they hand out water. Some of them hand out beer. They do all kinds of things just to say, we're in this for you. This is what the cloud looks like to me. People who line the streets, hold up the signs, and say to you, you got to finish. I am in this for you. So now, look around. This room is one big cloud. What the church is, being together like this, it's a visible cloud of witnesses. And Bloomington Covenant Church is its own little cloud, and I'm so grateful to be part of it. This cloud includes children, young people, and adults. In this place, at this moment, and even the ones that aren't here today, we are all runners, followers of Jesus who have begun this race, and we gather week after week to worship, to be in community, to share, to post our prayers, to wear our name tags, and to line the streets for one another. We line the streets, if you will, for children to come to soccer camp and to go to Sunday school and to be a part of B-Cub Kids and to be encouraged. We know their names and we pray for them. We work in the nursery. We do those things to be part of their cloud. We line the streets for our teenagers to get them confirmed, to take them on mission trips, to have confirmation, to know their names. That's a theme for me, P.S. To know their names, to care about them, to pray for them, to save to them. When you're done with confirmation, you're not done. There's still a long way to go, and we're in this for you. We line the streets for people who grieve by showing up for memorial services, by serving meals, by knowing people's names. Look at it, it's there again in there. We line the streets for people who visit. I don't know if anyone's visiting today and you've never been here, but we're in this for you. And we'd like to know your name and to hold up a sign for you because everyone... We want everyone to be there and to finish this race. This is our little cloud right now, with the intent of trying to be people who build each other up, not tear down, to commit to sticking it out together and make sure that everyone makes it to the finish line. So look around at your cloud. And now here comes the awkward part. I just want you to look someone in the eye or point to them across the room and say to them, I'm in your cloud. Go. I'm in your cloud. All right? Oh, you guys, you did such a good job. You're very quiet about it. Okay, you did it once. Now here's the next one. Now you look again. You can find the same person or a different person. Point to them and say, you're in my cloud. Go. You're in my cloud. This is what you can do for the rest of the day. This is an amazing crowd, cloud. This is a great cloud, but you know what? We're part of something that's infinitely larger. Beyond these walls, beyond, we're part of the saints who have gone before to form the cloud, the people that are beyond these walls who surround us and whom we surround. There are Christians all over the world for whom we pray and who pray for us, people we will never meet, but who cheer for us and support us because we want everybody to finish. We want everybody who doesn't even know about this race yet to join in and to make it to the finish line. A
The cloud of witnesses encompasses all the people who make it possible for us to hear about Jesus, to come to faith, and to keep on running. They become part of the story of who we are, like Kurt's story that we heard earlier today. Let's give thanks to God for the gifts that He gives us in people. We thank You, Lord, that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. We thank You for the people in the Bible who lived by faith, some who did it well and some who stumbled and tumbled and bumbled their way through. But, Lord, they are there to bear witness to this life. We thank You for the people in our own lives who have gone before. We thank You for the people in the tradition hundreds and thousands of years ago who continued to preach the gospel and to tell the good news so that we might be here today. We thank You for those in our individual lives who we can name, who have pointed us to Jesus, who cheer us on, who hold the signs. And Lord, in this space, in this community called Bloomington Covenant, we thank You for this cloud. Help us to be for one another and never against. Help us to line the streets for people of all ages and stages in lives. Help us all to be there to greet one another at the finish line someday. Thank You that You've laid this out for us, that You promise You're with us, but that You've also given us others that we can see and hold hands with and be with in this life of faith. We fix our eyes on You, Jesus. Amen.
Will you please stand and join us in the singing of our final song? It is hymn number 578. Thank You, God, for sisters, brothers.